open your Bibles to Mark. Book of Mark. In chapter 16. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, that we have to gather in your name. We thank you, Lord, for the book that we have. We thank you, Father, for the way that you have blessed us over the years. We thank you for our salvation that we have. Just thank you for how you looked upon us, Lord, especially, I speak of myself, Lord, how you had mercy on me, how you just saved me, Lord, how you just changed my life. And we're just so thankful, Lord, so thankful for the, ministry you've given us there in Mexico, Lord, the, things you've allowed us to see, the things you've allowed this church to experience as well, Lord. And we just, come to you tonight, Lord, that we just ask that you help us. We ask you, Lord, that you just revive us, Lord. Put a vision in our hearts, Lord. Remind us of some things. We need your help.
Amen.
I need your help.
Amen.
We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to start reading here in verse 1. The thing I want to talk about tonight is the resurrection. I was thinking about this, man. It was probably an incredible time to I think about this, to be in that time when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I mean, just those 40 days. I mean, if you go and look in your Bible and you see just the different times how he just pops in and out and he starts encouraging the brethren. You know, it was a real sad time for these guys. I mean, for 3.5 years, you know, he's talking and he's giving some hints and they're not quite understanding exactly, you know, how all this is going to take place. They actually understood that, okay, you're the Messiah and you're going to come and you're going to save us and you're going to establish your kingdom immediately. And then when that didn't happen, it was a downer. I mean, he died and they took his life and they saw his body and they prepared his body and they put it in a tomb. And 1 day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days. It was a hard time. They were confused. You see that some of them, go back to their own lives. They have no idea what they were going to do. They had some doubts. They had some things that they were going through. But you know, Jesus comes back, and what got me thinking about it is, you know, when Jesus comes back, he doesn't go to the people who put him to death.
Right.
You know, if you look at the people that our Lord came back to, it was his disciples.
Yeah.
It was his friends. It was his brethren. It was people that he hung out with for 3.5 years. When he rose from the dead, he went back to try to encourage these people. Hey man, it's not over. I am alive. I am here. It's gonna start. And everything I taught you, everything I gave you up to this point, it's on you. You have to take up the ball and it's in your court. But you know, it was definitely needed. We need God to give us a refreshing every now and again, don't we?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes we get into ruts, sometimes we get into the same old things, and we need a fresh touch from God. You know, and I don't know exactly what that means. You know, sometimes I hear that, you know, I need God to, I don't know, but you know what? I need something. And there's been certain times in my life where I actually felt and I knew God kind of just like put his hand on me, you know? Kind of just like says, you're in the right spot. You know, don't worry about it. You're okay. You're exactly where I need you to be. Sometimes it looks kind of foggy. Sometimes life gets overwhelming, right? And you know, if I tell you, you know, maybe different areas or different times in my life where I felt and I feel like it's overwhelming, you might laugh. And you might say, really? That's your problem? But you know, it's my problem. You know, it's my part of my life that I feel like I'm overwhelmed with things. And you know, and God does come to you.
Amen.
He knows exactly who to show up to.
Amen.
And how to speak
Amen.
To you. And exactly the encouraging words that you and I need.
Amen.
You know, when I think about, you know, different times. Look with me, if you would, in Luke 24. My passage is going to be in Mark 16, but just talking about the different times that he just showed up after his resurrection. Mark 24. I did say Luke, right?
Luke.
All right.
And Mark.
And Mark. All right. Luke 24. And let's read verse 30. And if the story here is a couple of guys walking and they're talking, it starts all the way up in verse 13. A couple of guys walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking and they're kicking some things around and they're having some doubts. And it says over here in verse 21, when Jesus he comes up next to them and he starts asking them, you know, what's going on? Why are you guys so depressed? What's happening? And they're like, man, are you like a foreigner? You know, I mean, lots of stuff has just happened right now. And it says here in verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And it goes on and it goes on. And then verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. So here, obviously, they get excited. Obviously, something was happening and they were telling them, you know, all their fears and doubts. Jesus listens to them. He sits down and he eats with them. And then he lets them see who he is just for a second and vanishes. Look what else it says. Go with me to John 20. John 20. John 20 and 26. It says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Could you imagine being there? I mean, the Bible says the doors were shut, so obviously he wanted you and I to understand there was no way this person could just walked in there. He just appeared. He just happened to come down. I don't know, through the roof, through the walls, have no idea, but it was an amazing thing. They were there, they were all together, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up. You know, that's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
You know, I'm looking for God to show up. You know, these guys were not looking for that. These guys were having some doubts, having some fears. And you know, it's sad that we don't come to church expecting God to show up.
Amen.
Expecting God. You know what? I hate it. Once I get done preaching, once I get done going downtown, once I'm on my way back home, and I'm thinking, you know what? I went preaching, I went door knocking, I went passing out tracts, not even thinking God was going to show up.
Right.
I just did it just because it was my responsibility to do it. It's my responsibility to come to church. It's my responsibility to be here. But you know what? I need to come and I need to go and I need to preach expecting God. He's going to show up. He's going to come down. He's going to do something.
Amen.
John chapter 21. Start looking at all these things that are happening, and we know the story. Man, these guys again are fearful. Again, they have some doubts. And the only thing they know to do is go do what they've always done. You know, what they were always doing before Jesus came into their lives. We're just going to go fishing. So, seven guys go out and they, hey man, you're going to go, Peter? We'll go with you. They go and they show up. And Jesus is standing there on the shore. And he's looking at them. You know, he didn't rebuke them. He didn't say, you lousy, no good, rotten. No, he's just looking at him, man. And he says there in 21, he says in verse 5, children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? You know, do you have anything in that boat? Is there anything that you have for your labor? And the answer was no. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. He's asking a question. Maybe they thought he was hungry. I don't know. But it says there in verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. That's just incredible to me. You know what you do not see there? Complaining, murmuring, disobedience. You don't see that. They're out there, they're confused, they're tired, they don't know what's going on, they don't know who this guy is. They're saying, hey, you know, all right, we've been out here all night, we haven't caught anything. All right, maybe he knows what he's, you know, maybe he sees something from out there. I have no idea. He's standing on the shore, he probably sees something, we can't see it, we're just going to go ahead and do it. They did it, boom! Obedience. These different portions of scripture where God shows up and he just wants his presence to be known. He says, look, I'm here. I haven't left you. I want you to open your eyes and see me for who I am. One other. In 1 Corinthians 15:6, it says that he was seen by more than 500. You know, it was very important. It was very important for, I think, God to show up in these moments, in these people's lives, because he was going to do something very big. He was going to do something huge with these group of people, with these people and taking the gospel, and you and I have salvation. You and I have a book in our hands. You and I know we have a clearer understanding of God because of what these men did. And it was because, I can't help believe it was because when he came and showed up to them, he wanted them to understand that everything that he said, everything that he promised, he was going to fulfill.
Amen.
Look what it says over there. Let's go to our text in Mark. Look what it says about his resurrection. Verse 16. And it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices, and they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away? Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" You know, that probably should have been, a question they should have asked before they left, right? I mean, that's a big problem. But you know what? Sometimes we do things and we have no idea. You know what? These women, they had the right attitude. They had the right desire. They had to go do this, and they knew. They obviously didn't know about the guards, because that would have been a huge obstacle. I mean, not even talking about that stone, but guards, how are you going to get past them? They had no idea. But they show up there and they said, man, I don't know if it was on their way or when they got there. How are we going to do this? Sometimes we just do things. And we have no idea what's going to happen. How's it going to happen? We have no clue. When I went to the mission field a long time ago, I have no clue. No clue at all. I just said, It just everything that led up to my life at that point pointed to Mexico. I took a couple of trips down to Mexico to see it. I went a couple times with Bill to go down there. I saw the work. To me, it just made sense. I'm brown. I'm Mexican descent. I've heard Spanish all my life. My family's, is from Mexico. It just made sense to me. God wanted me there. And there was so many questions, so many doubts, so many fears, but you know what? I just said, all that stuff, all that big rock that I have no idea how that's going to be moved, amen. God's going to do it. He's just going to do it.
Amen.
God's been so, so faithful.
Amen.
Mark 16, let's continue reading. It says, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. Oh, that's good. Especially when you're thinking about, sometimes we overthink things. Sometimes, we think too much. And there's been times in my life that I say, how is this going to work out? I've told you a story before about us preaching at the Mir over there in Irapuato and Bill telling them, hey, we're going to show up the next day at this time. We don't care if you're going to, hurt us or whatever, we're coming thinking, how in the world is God going to get us out of this? Sometimes, you overthink things. It's like not a problem. God's in control. And you know what? If God wants to end your life today, that's His job. We can't be walking in fear. Lots of times we think that we have our own idea. You know what? Yes. We need to think about the future. Yes, we need to do all these things. We need to prepare so many things. And I don't have any answers. What I do know, what I do understand is I want to follow Christ.
Amen.
And whether, I mentioned the other day, I just turned 50. I read an article and they said the even years of your life from like 30, is when people do career changes. 30, 40, 50, 60, is when people start thinking about career changes. I turned 50, I'm thinking, maybe I should think about a career change. You know what? Hold it. You know what? God called me to preach. God called me to win souls. If I win souls here in San Antonio, I don't think in Poland. In Mexico, in another Spanish-speaking country, possibly. look, I want to spend the rest of my life serving God.
Yeah.
I want to spend the rest of my life doing what He wants. It says, 16, verse 5. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. That's kind of crazy. He said, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified? Hey, he's risen. You know? He said, hey, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. It may say, look, he's risen. He's not here. You don't believe me? Look. Look inside. He is not there. Amen. Incredible. They were scared. They got the commandment. You go back and you tell the disciples. They didn't even see Jesus. They saw evidence that he wasn't there. And they go back. They don't talk to any man until they find the disciples and they tell them, he's risen. I want to talk about three charges tonight. And the first one is this. And it's a charge of the church. I think we see him here in this story. Mark 16. The first thing, he's risen. You know, when you see what's going on here in this chapter, they go back and they tell them, and they're talking to them, and these people are in mourning. These people are crying. These people are distraught. But there's no reason to be distraught. Church, he's alive. You know, he is risen. That should have been excellent news. That should have been enough information for them to get excited and say, all right, so let's go back and reevaluate what he told us to do. Where are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to be accomplishing? Because he told them so much stuff in 3.5 years. But you know, the charge that we see here is he tells them, he's risen. Sometimes when we come to church, it's more like a funeral.
Amen.
Have you ever experienced that?
Amen.
And listen to me. I don't think we should fake it.
Amen.
Sometimes you come in here and you are hurting. Amen. Sometimes you come in here and you need to get revived. You need something to happen. But you know what, guys? I think we need to prepare ourselves. I think we need to go ready.
Amen.
To worship a risen Christ. I think we need to come to our meetings to hear about a risen Christ.
Amen.
I think we need to come and gather together in Jesus' name. Why? Because our God is alive.
Amen.
He's not in the tomb. He's not laying there. He rose again, and we need to see that.
Amen.
Look what it says over there in John chapter 20. I want you to see something. John chapter 20, in verse 20. It says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. He shows up there. They're having some doubts, some problems. Where's Christ? They don't know where he's at. He comes. He shows them his hands. He shows him his side. Evidence. It's me. It's me. They crucified me. They killed me. But guess what? I rose.
Amen.
I am alive.
Amen.
And look what it says here. Then were the disciples glad.
Amen.
Why were they glad? Because they saw the Lord. You know, and when I'm thinking about seeing the Lord, when I'm thinking about that moment when they saw the Lord and they got glad, you know what I started thinking about? They were probably glad because there were, obviously, no more doubts. No more doubts. They see him. They see his hands. They see his side. All doubts are gone.
Amen.
Nothing. They have no fears. They have in that moment. Obviously, days were coming. They were going to have some fears, and doubts are coming, and days of fear. Look, if you're okay right now, if you got all the security in your heart right now, Praise the Lord.
Yes.
But there's going to come times when you're going to be doubting some things. You're going to come, there's going to be some times in your life that you're going to be a little bit scared. You don't know exactly what God is doing. You don't know exactly how this thing is going to work out. But let me tell you, God is in control. They see him, they saw him, and I think the reason why they were glad is because all the fears and doubts, gone.
Amen.
You know what else I thought about being glad to see him? Fellowship. Fellowship. You know, they hadn't seen Christ for a few days. They hadn't seen Christ for a while. These guys were with them for 3.5 years. Man, you know what? It's going to be real sweet being with God
Amen.
For eternity.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how that's going to be. Sometimes my imagination gets the better of me. You know, I'm thinking, man, are we going to be like sitting next to him? We're going to be like, you know, it's like this morning. We were here. Brother Lindo talked, how long, Brother Lindo? Like an hour and a half telling stories. I mean, it was good stuff. We're sitting there, we're listening to him, and he's talking about, things that God did in his life and how God saved him. Man, and it was as fresh as it was. I mean, that's what it seemed like, especially when he was telling us about that guy that took that run. It should have been him. He should have died. He should have been the one in the hospital dying 11 days later. But it wasn't him. God, and he said, you know what? If God wouldn't have put me there, and it was probably a bad mood, he said a bad move to go in the military because he made a whole lot money, less money being in the military, but he started thinking about all that and he said, you know what? God did this to save me. God did this for a purpose. God put me exactly where I needed to be. He saw some things. Let me tell you, these people, when they saw Christ, they were glad because, again, they were going to be fellowshipping with him. I don't know if they understood exactly he's going to be leaving in 40 days. I don't know, but, maybe they thought, okay, this is it. He's going to be here. He's going to establish his kingdom. All right, we're going to be with him forever. I have no idea. But one thing I do know, it says here, they were glad.
Amen.
And you know what else I think when they were glad? I think at that moment they understood the big picture. You know, he wasn't dead. He's alive. So that means that everything that he told us, we need to go and do.
Amen.
God wants to save people.
Amen.
God wants to rescue people. God wants salvation. God wants the gospel to be preached. And I think they understood it. That, man, if Jesus Christ had victory over death, there ain't nothing that's impossible.
Amen.
I mean, I think the whole meaning of words of life took a whole different understanding. Oh yeah. You know, he has the words of life. You know, and when I think about that, I think that you and I, when we're here in church, when we're worshiping God, I think we need to get our eyes off of us. And lots of times it is on us.
Yes.
We want to be
yes.
the one that's preeminent. You know, preeminent. Something like that. First. we want to be the ones who people look to. You know? And it happens to all of us. You and I, we because of who we are, that's sometimes that's how we're driven. Oh, I want people to think so and so of me. Listen, it's all about Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
The reason why they were glad, and the reason for just a moment, for just a glimpse of time, for that section of time, everything just vanished, and they were looking at God, and they were saying, "We are glad. We are happy. This is how we should be, right?"
Yes. Here. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
You know, another charge, the second thing I want to talk about. Look what it says in verse 7. Let's go back to Mark. Which I found this pretty interesting. I don't know if I'm seeing things there or not. I have no idea. but it spoke to me. In verse 7, I think we see a charge here also for the person that backslid. And we all go through that, don't we? There's moments in your life.
Amen.
You know, you can be backslidden and be faithful to church.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. Yes.
It happens, man. I've had some backslidden times in my ministry where I'm going through the motions. I'm going preaching. I'm teaching. I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do and just be as backslidden as I can be in my heart.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You gotta be careful.
Amen.
You gotta be careful, and especially how you treat somebody who's discouraged. And somebody who's backslidden. And somebody who has a problem. Look what it says here in verse 7. But go your way. They have a command. These ladies, go your way. And it says, and tell his disciples and Peter. Why do you think he says that? Have you ever thought of that? Go tell. I mean, was it Peter a disciple? Would it have been good enough to just say, go tell his disciples? I think they would have understood that, right? Well, Peter's part of them. Yeah, we'll go tell Peter. But no, he says, go tell his disciples and Peter. We all know the story. Peter denied Christ. He wanted to make sure, look, our Lord is going to talk to him. And we see it in Scripture. We see it in John 21. Jesus Christ shows up and he says, lovest thou me? He goes and he shows up and he asks him, man, do you love me, Peter? He goes and he seeks him. He goes, you know what? Could you imagine that when Peter denied him? And the Bible even says he cursed about it.
Right.
How about that, man? You know, have you ever messed up? Have you ever messed up in your life? I mean, really messed up and people now have thrown you to the side because you messed up. Look, folks, we've all messed up. This is a church of sinners.
That's right.
This is a church of people who we are a work in.
Amen.
You know, and you know, praise God if you're almost there. All right? But I am not almost there. I say stupid things. I think stupid things. I have bad attitudes sometimes. I say things I'm not supposed to say. But look, I'm a work in progress.
Me too, brother.
But the Bible says right here, you go tell his disciples and Peter. Look, man, I'm sure there was people back then just ready to gossip. Man, did you see this guy?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, he said he was going to die with him. Yeah, look at him now. You know, he's over there crying. He's over there, you know, running away. He decided to go back to his profession. Listen. Their descendants live in our time as well. People backbiting, people gossiping, people saying all this stuff. It should not be us.
Amen.
You see somebody who's discouraged. You know what the charge is? Go rescue.
Amen.
He says over here in John 21. And you guys know the story. But it says, it says here in verse 15. It's the first time he says, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter says, man, you know I do. He says it again. And he says it again. Lovest thou me? You know, that is the question. That is the question that you and I should ask ourselves, why are we here? Why do we want to go rescue somebody who's discouraged, somebody who has a problem, somebody who needs to see Christ, who needs that look? Look what it says over there. Look what it says over there in Luke. Go to Luke chapter 22. Look, I come from a Mexican family. chapter 22. And, you know, I don't know, maybe you guys had the same experience as me growing up, but, you know, my mom wasn't shy of disciplining me. She'd do it anywhere. You know, she didn't care. She had, you know, I mean, you know, the beatings made me forget some of the beatings, you know? And I tell my mom that all the time. I say, Mom, you know, thank you for beating me. And she gets kind of mad because, look, I didn't beat you. I said, I know, Mom. I know you didn't beat me. It sounds pretty bad. You know, I truly thank my mom for her disciplining me, for her, you know, using bricks and sandals and I don't know what else, man. But whatever she had, if I was doing something bad, she was going to take care of it. But you know, sometimes it didn't even take something that was going to hurt. Sometimes, and I don't know if you had a mom that's this way, but sometimes when I was acting up, and she just turned around and looked at me. Yeah. Just a look.
Amen.
She just looked. And I can interpret that look. I better stop or I'm going to get beat. Look what it says over there in verse 60. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Wow. He says he looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Right. You know, sometimes, and lots of times, we don't need a lecture. Sometimes we just need a look from God. We just need God to just look at us. And the way he looks at us is through this book. We come here, I come here, I want you to come here to see something. We need to understand that the charge also, not only is that Christ is alive and he is risen, but the charge is, man, we have people that are backslidden. People that we love, people who are part of this church, people who are part of our churches, people that are hurting. We need to go to them. We need help. Look, this work that we do, I can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. God never intended us to do it alone. He has several people. The last thing I want to just mention very quickly, the charge to us before the world. Mark 16. Very, very familiar verse. 16 and verse 15. He says, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, this is the command, you know, we have, and we see it all through Scripture. Go into the world and preach. God's desire is for us to go win people. Yep. For us to take the gospel to someone else. It could be your next door neighbor. It could be the person in this neighborhood. I don't know how many times this neighborhood has been tagged, has been evangelized, has, you know, doors been knocked. And, you know, maybe because we've done it so many times, we think, why are we going to keep doing it? They don't want to hear. Well, let me tell you, God says, go and preach. He says over there in Matthew 28, all power is given to Jesus Christ, earth and in heaven.
Amen.
He is going to go with us. How The charge that we have, the charge in this chapter to us for the world, is to go and win them. How are we going to do it? He has all the power. Matthew 11:28. How's he going to do it? He says, come unto me. Look, I don't have the answers. You know, I can't give people rest. I wish I could. I wish I had an answer for everybody. But I don't have an answer personally. But I know who does. And this same God who opened my eyes, the same God who gave me salvation, the same God, man, you know what? God is not, he is not limited. Amen. Bible or no Bible, if God wants to save, he's going to save. Amen. You know my testimony, I've said it. The guy that gave me the gospel had no Bible. Well, I say he had no Bible. He had the Bible in his heart. when it came time for him to give me a word from God, he had it. An amazing thing. You know what bugged me? What I could not get out of my head when he was giving me the gospel and he was telling me and he took out a piece of paper and he was writing diagrams and stuff and bridges and canyons and valleys and all this stuff he was drawing to try to explain the gospel to me. The only thing that I could not get out of my mind was, where are my grandparents? I could not get that out of my mind. A lot like Brother Lindell today. That should have been me. That should have been me. And when I asked that man that, where are my grandparents? He says, I never knew them. I can't tell you with certainty, but I know a story. There in Luke, a rich man died. He went to hell. And he called out to God and he said, send somebody to my house. I have brethren who need to be saved. And he tells me, hey, you need to come to Christ. It could be, I don't know, but it could be that if they're in hell, they want somebody to come to tell you. Wow. Come unto me. You talk about rest. To know that God, in his infinite mercy, looked down on me and said, John, I want to give you rest. Come unto me. The Bible talks about in John 5:24, which is the verse that convinced me. If you believe, you hear the word. If we believe, it says he's given us everlasting life. It says there in 5:24 that immediately we pass from death unto life. One verse. Mike talking about powers and words. That's power. We just got to go give it. Go ye into all the world and preach it. There's a guy there who preaches with me. Christian. And the first time he went out with me, we're preaching on the street. Some person looking out the window. But that was it. And I don't even know if they were looking for a long time. But he was out there and he started preaching. And he started giving his testimony. And he was bawling, crying out in the street, giving his testimony on how God saved him. And at first I was a little embarrassed. I was thinking, what is he doing crying out here? You know, I mean, you know, he's a man. He's supposed to be strong. You don't cry out in public. And then I started thinking, wow, did I forget that? Did I forget where God pulled me out? Did I forget that I was once dead and now I'm alive? I passed from death to life. This is the power that we have in the gospel. It says over there in Matthew 28, go ye therefore, all the world. The charge that we have. Go tell the disciples. It's us, man. Christ is alive. Christ has risen. Christ is not dead.
Amen.
The charge. Go tell a Peter. Go tell somebody.
Amen.
You know somebody who's hurting? You know somebody who needs to get revived?
Amen.
Go get them.
Amen.
And then go tell the world. You know, we serve a risen Christ, people, and we know that.
Amen.
And the reason why I keep saying it is because sometimes we hear things so many times, we get bored with it.
Amen.
It's not new to us anymore. You know? It's like eating the same thing. Well, that's a bad example for me. I can eat the same thing every day. I got no problem. But some people, they don't like leftovers. You know people like that? No leftovers. My father-in-law was that way. He didn't like leftovers. He wanted everything cooked to the perfect portion so there will not be any leftovers. Hey, man, we hear this thing so many times sometimes. Christ is risen. Christ wants us to go. Christ is with us. He wants to save. And sometimes we hear it so much that it's like not fresh anymore. It's like not new. Listen to me. We don't need to shine up the gospel.
Amen.
All right? The gospel is the power of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
We need to just let the gospel shine through us. Amen?
Amen.